in the world. Here we are in the world, but not of it. So what does it mean to be in the world? I said last week that the world does things to us. But in all the things that happen to us in the world, there is God doing things for us. So, this world that we're in, when I say that it does things to us, I don't want to paint the world as being just bad or just good. The two sides to the good world, bad world quandary. Because we live in the beauty of an ordered creation of God. In fact, the word cosmos, which is world, means an ordered arrangement. That's what it means. And when you think of the order that is in the world, in the mathematical wonder of the order of God in things that grow, in the stars in the sky. And if we could see into things that look solid, we would see that they are actually created with more space than solid matter in them. The atomic structure. There's an order in these things that is just so rich in the wisdom of God. So that is a good world. The beauty of an ordered creation, whose amazing life and substance is there to bless us, which must be appreciated for what it is and be enjoyed and given thanks for what God provides for us in it. It was faultless in the beginning, in the garden. It was a gift. And that garden, it's beautiful. And then something bad happened. And all creation suffered. Man decided to choose to live a life independently from God. A temptation to be separate, which was there waiting to be acted upon, was acted upon in the rebellion of man. And that brought darkness, separation. And all creation suffered. In fact, as the Bible says in the book of Romans, that creation is waiting, it's groaning, for God's children to come to that place of, well, let's just say, the place of becoming. We're all becoming something. We are something. We are His children. And the paradox is we are His children, but we are becoming His children at the same time. We are becoming more and more the children of the Father in such a unity that it's going to be manifest and displayed through you, your life and my life, through us as His children, manifesting the love of the Father, which will bring about change. The creation is waiting, it says, waiting for the manifestation of the children of the sons of God. So let's let that happen. It simply means surrendering to the life of God within us. In this world in which we are in. The world's problem is that there are people in it. And there is the disorder of human minds alienated from the life of God. That's where the problem is. That's where Lucifer brings darkness into the minds of mankind, separation. And that is what he fuels. That's what he works to do. The prince of the power of the air working in people that are not hearing, or the other word for not hearing is disobedience. Disobedience, not obeying the beautiful command to receive his love and be transformed into his likeness. That's what a commandment. That's what we're asked to do, to be his people. So that disorder is in the world. But in those same people, in all the people on the planet, the people that don't know, the Bible says they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. In those people, because I want to be balanced in this, there's the good side and the bad side. There is the wholesome gift of a conscience. And everybody in the world, the gift of the image of God in people of no faith. It's there. They do good and virtuous things in the world. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 2, verse 15. There'll be people who have been under the law, they'll be judged by the law. We are under grace. We're accountable for the grace we receive. Well, that's bigger than being under the law. But there are people without law that don't know about the Ten Commandments. There are people that don't know about grace. And in Romans 2:15, it says, God has put the law in their hearts, their conscience accusing them or excusing them on that day when they are brought to give account. And what a gift from God gives that to everybody. So we see beautiful things happening. We see rich, powerful, energetic, caring, compassionate, artistic, scientific. We see things happening in people of goodwill that still don't know God, have no faith. I see it especially in the healthcare system. It's called the healthcare industry. I see doctors and nurses and physios and people helping. And when I go into hospital, which I have in recent times, become a good customer there, I see tremendous compassion and mercy and dedication. I think, God, it's your love. Where did that love come from? Where did the compassion come from? It's not just some genetic makeup. There is something of the image of God. Everybody has a spirit. We are all spirit. All of us. And you see God using people and allowing them to express whatever light there is outwards. You see the love for a mother to a child. You see the sacrifice, the intense sacrifice, self-sacrifice. You think, oh, that's just their personality. That's just mother. No. Where did that come from? It came from the creator God who created this universe in love, because of love. So he's always at work. I've already mentioned the problem, and I'll now address that briefly. Nonetheless, the whole world lies in darkness. That's what the scripture says. And that's the sad part. We must acknowledge the goodness that we see. We've got to have a look at the problem. The whole world lies in darkness. And that is the dark veil of a mindset of separation from God that was set firm at the moment of the fall of man, and which only light and truth, grace and faith and love can remedy. You just think about that. The people that are in darkness, which is separated in their minds because of the veil of separation, can be remedied by light, life, grace, faith, love. Hence, you. You're in it. That's you in the world. You are God's channel. We heard this morning an encouragement to be part of the flow of the unending love of God. Well, how is that unending love of God in its flow going to get, from God, tangibly, if you like, as an awareness in a person's heart that this thing that's hitting me is not just from a person, it's from something beyond, it's just something different. Is this the love of God that's happening to me? Well, that's what you are. You're the love of God. Where else is it? I'm not just talking about the original or the, if you like, the primal breath of God in humanity, in which the image of God is in a person and in which they can choose to do loving things because that imprint of God is within their lives. And they don't know to give God the glory for that. People feel loving and do loving things. I'm talking about the actual tangible evidence of a person receiving the love of God and giving God credit for that. And all of a sudden awakening to the fact that there's something more happening in this world, in this atmosphere, in this life that we live. There is something coming upon me that is changing me, that is melting my heart. What is it? It's the love of God. And they say, thank you, God. That's what I'm saying. Not thank you, nurse, or whatever. Thank you, God. What a privilege to be bearers of that. First of all, to be receivers of it and acknowledgers of it. So while the world does things to us, and that's us, we can do something for it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. An odd scripture, but very true. It says, the race is not to the swift. Then it goes on to say, or the battle to the strong, or favour to those with knowledge. It says, but time and chance happens to all men. That's a bit odd. Time and chance happens to all men. Does that mean that God plays dice, or that things just happen randomly and that God's not quite sure what's going to happen, so we're in this random world of chance? It doesn't mean that at all. We'll look at the chance bit first. As far as God's concerned, time is in his hands. Our times are in his hand. The chance is our perception. As far as we're concerned, our experience is unexpected things happen that should not ought to happen. Chance happens. That's our perspective. I did not plan for this. I had all my money saved up. And what did the banks go and do? Something foolish, and now it's all crashed. Now, God knew that. God didn't get a surprise and say, oh my goodness, the banking system just went bad. He said, yeah, that's right. I'll come to this later. I just want to bring it in now. I just feel to hit the light of this little thing I'm in right now. We are in this world to do something for it, to bring the love of God, which is the light and the life and the truth that reorders what is out of order in this world. Because what is out of order in this world are people's hearts of relationship to themselves, for a start. Terrible me, this rotten me, or this perfect me that people better realise how wonderful I am, or whatever the me is, or this blaming me, why can't everybody get it right like I do? Well, it's this thing relationally that is broken, out of order in man. I'm a victim. I'm not loved. I don't belong. Last week we spoke about, yes, you do belong. We'd like the Holy Spirit to help you believe that, etc. So this reordering by the love of God through you who carry the love of God will reorder things in life. It will also reorder some things in life, some structures and institutions, and things like education can be reordered because of the love of God bringing God's word and love and order into things like that. Institutionally, it can be done. I've seen it happen. I haven't seen it happen in the banking system or the political system. It's possible. But you know, while I'm on this, God is shaking all things. And there are some things that are going to resist change so much that they will not change. They will get broken, busted, smashed. All of a sudden, they won't work anymore. Like the Berlin Wall. Communism, that entire scourge that was there right across Eastern Europe. Overnight, the wall fell down. Where did that come from? That thing got broken. It got smashed. It resisted. You see, the devil does not have eternal life. He has got limited resources. And anything that stands against God, when it's God's time for that thing to either change or not to change, he smashes. So keep your eyes peeled for things to get broken. I'll shake everything that can be shaken, so that only that which cannot be shaken, which is your faith in the kingdom, will remain. Now, that doesn't put fear into me. Well, it gives me an awesome sense of the power, of the sovereign power of God. And I'm still going to pray into those things. But I know that we can do something to the world insofar as the human dilemma of the relational disorder. So time and chance, or this thing, the expectation, why isn't my life working when I had all my ducks in a row? That'll happen to everybody. But God's in the midst of restoring and reordering. Time happens to all men and women. Somebody told me this morning that I had a condition called, he just gave me the kind of word for it, AGE. So that's a condition of time. Happens to us all. As a result, tick, tick. And time wants to control us. I think, is it going too fast? It's going too slow. Sometimes the days go too slow and the years go too fast. But time is happening. But you know what? We are not under that control. We were encouraged this morning. We're in an unending flow of God's love. We have now. Our times are in His hands, and He has a purpose, and He has a plan, and He will bring it to pass. And we need, you see, the problem with time working on us is our anxiety for the future and our impatience for now and our regret because of the past. That's time happening to us. It's like a fiction. They didn't used to have clocks like we have, tick, tick. They had sundials. But now every second seems to matter. All right, now, it's always now for God. When we align ourselves with that, not a fearful tomorrow or a regrettable yesterday, that is faith. Your faith is in what is happening now through God. Your faith is actually, it's only one thing, your faith. It is faith in what God is doing now. That's all it is. Some people say, well, I've got faith, I'm believing for this. You're having faith in your faith. Well, I quoted the word. That is faith in your faith. Faith is what God is doing in the world of the unseen. And He is working all things for good. And when we're in alignment with Him and at rest and at stillness in our souls, and we tap in, the Holy Spirit can whisper to us, this is the prayer, this is the prayer. God is working, He is interceding, He's speaking to the Father, and we get to even get the whisper, and as we pray, it will be done. We are then part of the will of God. But it starts by seeing God on high, being in command, and then aligning ourselves with that, and then becoming part of His will. So we're not of the world. So it's talked a little bit there of being in the world. We are not of the world. John 17, they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. That's what Jesus said. The word ek is the word of. We're not of the world. Ek or ex, we are not from the world. In the sense that we don't get our origin, our spiritual roots or identity or meaning from the world. The things of the world are not allowed to shape our spirit. Okay? They can bless our souls. We can be thankful for what God does. But our culture, our environment, our experiences, that think that they've set us on a course that we think controls us. Not so. Our past is not controlling our future. God is, when we tap into what he's doing now. You're a pilgrim. This world that you're in is a playground. I mean, it's beautiful. It's also a workshop to get things together, to challenge us about getting with God or with the world. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I know, this is in John 8:14, I know where I am from and where I am going, but you don't know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. In other words, you think external things are what's real, and you say that they are the things that are shaping your life. No, I know where I'm from and where I'm going, and where I'm going is real. Where I'm from is real. But what you're looking at is really not real. But it's, I can touch it, feel it, yeah, but it's not really shaping your destiny. You're answerable to God for where he's taking you, not to the world. John 2:15, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That doesn't mean God doesn't love them. It means what I said before, they're not able to attribute the love that hits their heart to God. The love of the Father is not in them. It doesn't exist for them, even though God loves them. They've shielded themselves off from that. They're blaming God, a lot of people, for what's going wrong, or blaming other people, but the love of the Father isn't in them. So we can love the world by trusting in what it offers as the answer for our needs in so many things. You say, oh, I can sort this out, I can maneuver this and do that. And you get to trust that. But we need to get beyond that and say, in this difficulty, God will give me the wisdom, the endurance, etc., the faith. The story of humanity is in the story of the prodigal son. It starts with a son, a child, being loved by his father and at home. That's where the story starts. We don't see that part of the story. We see where he bolts. The fact is, the story starts with a child at home being cared for and looked after and provided for with the future and everything else. But this son did not know or appreciate the love of the father. The love of the father wasn't in him. This is just a natural story, but it's the same with humanity. Adam and Eve said, God doesn't love us. We're not allowed to eat that tree. And Lucifer said, if you eat that tree, God's afraid that you'll become like him and have all wisdom. Oh, what a God. The love of the Father stopped being in them. How did they regret that? He didn't stop loving them. He began to redeem them. But here's this young fella. So he can't know or appreciate the love of the Father. So he pursues his own goals, he takes from dad what he can, and he runs out of money. He must have loved money. Well, maybe it wasn't money that he loved. Maybe it was the things money could get for him, the good life, the independence. But whatever happened, his resources ran out. Just like everything that stands against the love of God will either have to change or get broken one day. And this fellow ran out of hope because he trusted in the world. It ran out, fortunately, in time for him, to decide to change, and he wanted home. I want home. I want home. Do you know that's the cry in everybody's heart? They might know it. That's why we've got to know that we're pilgrims. Home is here if God is here in our hearts. Jesus said, "My Father and I will come and make our home with you," John 14, 23. So we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We can be at home in God. And that's what happens to a person. And they sing "Amazing Grace." I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm home. So he wants home. Everyone's journey is different. But the big surprise comes for the son. When he gets home, he thinks he's going to have to now work hard and slave, which is what we think. Well, I'm going to be good now. I'm repenting, God, and you watch what I can do for you. And God says, "Get out of there. Just come home and see what I can do for you. And then we'll start doing something together." So he comes home, has a party, realizes the Father's love. He realizes that that love and that home have been waiting for him, and that is all that matters to him. What about all the stuff that he had, all the money? I just wonder, were there any material possessions left for him? He'd blown it all. I would say there would have been something left. The thing is, to this fellow, it didn't matter. It mattered to the other son. This fellow had what mattered, the Father's love. He'd come home. That's what's happening in the world. That's where people are coming. That's where you are able to draw them. The other son, he had his money. But what didn't he have? He didn't have the love of the Father. Not that his father didn't love him, but he was cranky with his father. John 17, Jesus says to the Father about his disciples, "I've given them your word. The world despises them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. As you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world." That's your journey, pilgrim, pilgrim. That's your journey. You're in the world, but not of it. We're sent in like Jesus, with all the power and purpose and healing coming from his merciful love. We're armed with this love and unshakable faith. Father's calling people home. Jesus is bringing home his sheep. He came not to condemn, but to save. Your uncondemning faith as a co-laborer with God changes you to change your world. Amen.